This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Live, alhamdulillah, we are honored to have with us Sheikh Yasser Burgess covering the topic, When East Meets West, inshallah. It's not much of a mystery, but inshallah, we're going to be exploring it with you on our upcoming trip with Al Maghrib's Blessed Voyages to the beautiful country of Bosnia. I'm in my turquoise teal, the color that I used to see all over this beautiful country, mashallah, when I was there, alhamdulillah. And inshallah, we are going to be joined with our instructor, our lead for this experience, Sheikh Yasser Burgess, inshallah, who is going to be guiding us for the session. So assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh Yasser, jazakumullah khair for being with us. And it's an honor to have this webinar. How are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, all of you. Welcome to this presentation on the beautiful country of Bosnia.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. I know there's a lot that you have to cover, and I really like the topic that we've chosen specifically because I feel like Bosnia encapsulates that better than any country that I've visited, alhamdulillah. So let's jump right in, inshallah, we'll be with you here in the chat. Bismillah.
All right, bismillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa barak, Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, tasliman kathiratun mamma ba'd. I want to welcome you all to this presentation on when the East meets the West, my personal experience with Bosnia as a country and as a culture as well too. And that's why I would love to make many, many people also experience similar to what I've been through, alhamdulillah, of this beautiful country and beautiful people and culture. Just to give an idea on how my story with Bosnia, when did it start really and how it all got together, subhanAllah, is how the East met the West over there and what that really meant to me and to many of us who come right now from the farther even West, so we can come actually to East from us, which is basically in Bosnia right now. So back in the 1990s, I was still studying in Medina University back in 1992 through 1996. And when I was studying there in Medina, we started hearing the news about the Bosnian War and the civil war that erupted after the collapse of Yugoslavia. And subhanAllah, it was so really disheartening seeing how the whole world failed the people of Bosnia and let go of the massacres and the genocide, almost you could say, that was happening over there. And as I was studying, and subhanAllah, my heart was thinking about how can I really help the people over there. And I asked my teachers, I asked some of my mentors, all of them said, look, finish your education first, inshallah ta'ala, and then you can go there to help with the relief work and rebuilding the country and help assist with whatever the people they need the most over there, because they're going to need someone to teach and someone to bring them back again to their Islamic identity and so on. So that's what I did until 1996 when I graduated from Medina. And I was I had a choice, subhanAllah. I had a choice to travel to different places. But then I personally thought, you know what? I want to give the zakah of this knowledge. Alhamdulillah, I've graduated. I have a degree in Islamic studies right now. What can I do? How can I help the people there? So I said, you know what, let's go to Bosnia. I applied and I got accepted to travel there with some of those international agencies to go to Bosnia. And it was, I still remember that, it was back in spring, early spring, March 1997, when we first landed in Istanbul. So there in Istanbul, we're waiting for our visas to be actually given to us. And it took us about a week really to get the visa because again, it wasn't anything established over there yet. So finally, alhamdulillah, we got our visa, myself and a couple of my friends who were also accepted into the international program of relief workers. So we got our visas and then we flew in into Sarajevo. And that's the first sight that I have of Bosnia, subhanAllah. As we were flying in, and something you're going to also experience as well, inshallah ta'ala, as you fly in, the country itself is not really a large country. It's a mountainous country. And those mountains, because of this, you have to drive around and go around many, many different valleys and mountain tips and so forth. It makes the distance so far. You drive long hours, but geographically speaking, it's not really that long. If you stretch the country itself, if you stretch all these mountains, probably the country of Bosnia would become bigger than the United States of America altogether. But because all of the land is kind of like put into mountains, subhanAllah. So as we were coming closer and closer, the airport is not a big airport, and it's still the same location, the same size almost from that time, from the 1990s. I remember as we were going down there, I noticed that many of the houses we were looking at, they're missing their roofs. roofs are missing. You can see the signs of the war, obviously, and the shelling and the shooting and so on, completely destroyed the region around the airport. The airport was one of those main hubs of the battlefield at the time. And we're going to see that, inshallah, if you decide to come and join us, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we're probably going to take you to the Tunnel of Hope. And that was the tunnel that was dug underneath the aerodrome, underneath the runway of the airport. So that gives that the lifeline for many people who survived those years in Sarajevo. So when we were landing, subhanAllah, the first thing I saw was all that the destruction. And it kind of like broke my heart. But at the same moment, we became very anxious a little bit because we're not sure if it was safe, if the country is already right now in good hand, if it's under control. So as we were landing, and there wasn't really much of arrangement yet, the country was not yet established, you simply just come down off the plane, grab your bags, and go into the country right away. That's how easy it was, actually. And that time, until they start establishing the borders and the international community and so forth. My assignment was with the Saudi committee, the Saudi highest committee for the help of Bosnia and Herzegovina, or the Herzeg. And then we were stayed in Ilija, which is an area where our hotel is going to be, inshallah, that as we go there. It's one of those suburbs of the capital, Sarajevo. We spend there in the guest house about a month or so, trying to figure out, you know, where we're going to be working in Charlotte and which region of Bosnia. In that time, I remember, since most of the people in the guest house were not really from Bosnia, they come from international destination to help. So we were there in that house, and it was freezing. It was still spring, but it was really, really freezing. And I was wondering, I'm asking the people, Jamal, is there any kind of, you know, heating system over here that we can, you know, work it out? And everybody's there. It goes, you know what? Honestly, we don't know. If you want to check it out yourself, go ahead, check it out. So I start looking around and found that all these radiators in the rooms, there must be some central heating in that area. And that's one of the Eastern experiences when you come to the West. You come from the East, it's all hot in Saudi Arabia and the Arab country. You don't need that heating system over there. But I saw these things and said, you know what? There must be some heating system over here. Going all the way down to the basement, and Masha, there's a huge furnace, huge orange furnace with so much of coal. And I'm just like, oh my God, there is something, you can work it out. So subhanAllah, I start trying to figure it out. The language was difficult to understand. So eventually I figured out how to turn it on. It turned on that same night. We were sweating because I just put so much actually coal over. I didn't know how much to measure it, but it was so hot, subhanAllah, that night. And it was the joke of the whole season. So alhamdulillah, we were kind of taking turns and keeping the house warm for all the guests, mashallah. But then subhanAllah, once spring started and the summer came in, the country just showed really the beautiful, beautiful breeze. You don't need any air conditioning. They just open the windows and subhanAllah, the winds are blowing in and everything is so beautiful and so amazing. So then eventually we were assigned to go to an area called Zabudovici, which is in the central area of Bosnia, near another town called Zenica. And as we were driving through, the driver was telling us, look, the situation was still not stable. The country was still divided. So you have three entities over there. They were the Bosnians, they were the Croatians, and they were the Serbs. So each one of them still hold on to territories and lands, and they're still, you know, on edge. And it wasn't simple and easy to go through these territories without, of course, being noticed as being foreigner. Our cars used to have international and diplomatic plates because working with international community. So we were able to go through some of these villages, some of these towns, and you can even feel the tension at that time until we arrived at a small town called Zavodovichi, which subhanAllah was supposed to be a temporary station for a spot for me. But it ended up spending there 4 years of my life in Bosnia. I was there, subhanAllah, temporary in the masjid. They put us in a small room in the masjid. And then from there, you could start seeing the people of the community. I mean, it was an interesting thing you would observe when you go there, how the Muslim community in Bosnia was so resilient with all the pressure that was put on them to kind of strip away from their Muslim identity. But they were very resilient. Their masajid are, mashallah, alhamdulillah, they're still there. And they deliberately built a masjid with a very long and very tall minaret. So you could see it from far away. You will see the masjid in the middle of the mountain and you can still see the minaret. You will drive from far distances across the valley and across the river, you can still see the minaret as an indication this is actually a Muslim town or Muslim village. Another thing that we've noticed, subhanAllah, is that this whole confused identity, Allah al-Musta'an, would be interesting to see that right inside, right outside of the masjid, you are in the masjid, and right outside, across the street from the masjid, you know, with walking distance, you will see what they call kafanas, which means like a club or cafe shop and so forth, which sells alcohol and so on. And usually in the masjid in the summer, because you open the windows and the club opens the window as well too, so the music mixed with the adhan sounds. But interestingly, every time they hear the adhan, they turn off the music, subhanAllah. And I'm like, subhanAllah, look, no matter how much the corruption happened, the fitrah is still clean. The fitrah is still clean. When they hear the adhan, they just turn off the music and everybody become respectful for a few minutes until the salah is over. And then eventually the whole party starts over again. Allah musta'an. But that shows us how much mixed culture has affected the population, the people, and the brothers and sisters in Bosnia. In Zabidovici, I spent the first year there, I was still actually bachelor, and we were doing, mashallah, a lot of activities with the youth and with the communities. And then I decided, you know what, I want to get married. I want to bring my wife to help me out there. So I went to Jordan and I got married. Alhamdulillah, brought my wife Hiba, and she spent 3 more years with me in Bosnia, where we really became part of the community. Literally, you become like family. It's not like you're just visiting, you're a tourist. No, we were not really tourists. We were people, we were the family, we were also part of the culture as well. We learned how to cook their food, we learned how to make their coffee, we learned how to dress their dress codes. We learned so much, and even the language as well. Subhanallah, it was an interesting, you know, experience really to be part of the culture, not just visiting it, living it literally, and being part of it, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. So during those years, I just want to share one personal experience to show you how beautiful the people are, subhanAllah, how amazing it is. So when we arrived there, I was living with my roommate, a friend of mine who was working with me. They stayed there for a year, and then he left, actually. But in that year, we rented like a basement area, not a basement, like a basement area or first floor or below floor, actually, in a house in a small town. The house was owned by a couple who had 3 kids. One of their children, the oldest child, was actually killed in during the war. And subhanAllah, were left with their son and their daughter. Eventually, when we were there, I think for some reason, the lady, of course, of the house, she took us as her children. And interestingly, she kind of viewed my roommate, who looked exactly like her older son who passed in the war. So she kind of like adopted us, really, without even asking any questions, without even actually requesting anything. Every now and then, you hear a knock on the door, and then you open the door, she leaves us a tray of food on the floor. I'm like, interesting. So we were introduced to the Bosnian food like that, subhanAllah. So breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then you go to the masjid, you run a program, come back again, you see that the house was cleaned, and even your laundry was taken care of. I'm just like, come on, this is too much. We were not used to that, but subhanAllah, the hospitality was amazing. Really was, it's really amazing. One time, my friend and I, we were invited to go to a village in the mountains. So there was no route for cars, so we had to walk somehow. And as we were walking, obviously, it's more an agrarian society, a lot of farms, a lot of lands. So we were walking in the mud. When we arrived in the house over there, our feet, our leg, our actually boots were all muddy, obviously. We spent the time over there. We had dinner. We met the villagers, the community, the people, with translators, obviously. And then as we were leaving, subhanAllah, we couldn't even recognize our shoes, because they were clean polished. And I'm just like, whoa, this is unbelievable. I said, what happened here? Who did that? I said, this is actually their way of saying thank you for walking through the mud to come to our place, that they clean your shoes for you. I'm just like, wow, this is interesting. Now, I don't know, after all these years, what kind of culture we left for us in the villages these days, because I, as you know, with the TV and the people traveling around the world and being mixed cultures also, I hope that it's still holding on to these very basic, beautiful traditions of the past. So fast forward, my friend, actually, he left. My wife and I, we lived in the same apartment for some time. And subhanAllah, it's an interesting thing. The lady, she, of course, of the house, she took my wife as her daughter-in-law. And she started teaching her, you know, the Bosnian cuisine and sweets and stuff. And even though, and this is the interesting thing, even though they could not speak the language together, because my wife didn't know Bosnian, and they didn't know Arabic or English. So they were speaking with whatever language they spoke, but they just made the wonderful relationships for some time until we start speaking the language with them. To show some dedication that I learned, subhanAllah, from them, no matter how the fitrah or how actually their life changed, their fitrah was still intact. One time I was in my apartment, and then I hear a knock on the door, and the lady, she said, "Are you free?" I said, "Yes." She goes, "Come with me." So I walk up the stairs with her, and she asked me to stay outside of the house. So I stayed outside of the house, and then eventually she said to me, she came out from the house holding in her arms all these beautiful figurines, crystal and porcelain figurines. And she goes, "Is this halal or haram?" And I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, that looks very expensive stuff. It's so expensive. I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, is this halal or haram? Can I keep this in the house or not?" I said, "If you're talking about leaving it, you know, in display." And so I said, I tried to kind of find a way to have her see the answer for herself. She goes, "Just tell me, can I keep it in the house or not?" I said, "Honestly, no." Wallahi, no hesitation. She went straight to a trash can that was outside next to us. She just dropped everything down there. She goes, "Exactly, thank you. Assalamu alaikum." And she went in. And the thing is, she left me outside of the door. I'm just like wondering what just happened. But for me, I just felt, subhanAllah, that the true and again, genuine intention that they really want to come back to their roots. They want to go back again to where it was for them, the Muslim tradition, mashallah. We spent some time over there, and then after we left, and that's something I didn't know, that our relationship was very strong, subhanAllah, with them and with everybody else in the community, mashallah. So that when we left, it wasn't too long after we left, we came to the U.S. in 2000. A year or so after that, I came to realize that our landlady, actually, her name was Nuno, she passed away. And it was an interesting thing because didn't know what happened during those years. So it took us about maybe 16 years later or 17 years later to go back again to Bosnia, which was a couple of years ago, actually in 2020. We went back again to Bosnia for the first time, for me, for the first time after all these years, subhanAllah. And immediately we wanted to start looking for the family. And we contacted their daughter. She's already, mashallah, married and have kids. She said, "I want to see you. I want to talk to you right now." Eventually, we met with her, and she tells us something interesting. Her father was still alive. He was in his 80s at that time. And he was also one of those great friends for us, subhanAllah. So she was telling us that, look, when you know, she was saying that my mom, you don't know how much my parents loved you guys. That when you left, she said, I think my mom died because she couldn't handle your departure. Like she got, like her children left the country, subhanAllah. And I believe that. I believe that. Because what happened is that she told us that before you left, guys, when you left the apartment, she told my dad, "Don't rent that apartment to anybody. They're going to come back." And then he took that word to the letter. Even after she passed away, she did not actually rent that place ever. And when we came visiting the house, I noticed the door was open. He knew that we were coming, so he opened the door for us. And we just, subhanAllah, it was an interesting, nostalgic moment. We just went there and we opened the door. Literally, the apartment, not as new as it used to be. Obviously, there's some storage here and there, but it was never rented to anybody because she thought that one day they're going to come back again and want to leave this place for them. But it took about 20 years, subhanAllah, for us to get back there. May Allah have mercy on her. We sat up with Uncle Rifat Kasarovich, actually. We sat down with him. We started remembering all these beautiful memories from the past and, you know, the loving time that we spent together, subhanAllah. It was like a father figure for us, subhanAllah. We hugged, we kissed, and then eventually we left. 4 months later, he was telling me that story about not renting that house, subhanAllah. He says, 4 months later, when we arrived back to the U.S. over here, he also passed away. And as if he was just waiting for us to come to hand us the keys and say, "You know what? I delivered the message. I need to leave right now." I just want to share the story with you guys because I thought that, look, this is how, no matter how far we are, how distant we are, subhanAllah, our Muslim identity makes us brothers and sisters no matter how far we are. When the East meet the West, those titles just disappear because we become one ummah. But obviously, Bosnia has its own unique tradition, and I want to share with you a few things that you probably need to know about the culture. SubhanAllah, Bosnia has history. And I'm going to share with you some of that history in a few seconds, inshallah, azza wa jal. But in terms of the language, they speak language that originally was hybrid. So there is a lot of Arabic, Turkish, Persian words in the Bosnian language. Obviously, after the Hungarian and then Yugoslavian, rule and era, a lot of the Bosnian language became more what they called Serbo-Croatian language. The Bosnians, they're very proud of their tradition. They still call it Bosnian, and they have their own words into the Bosnian language. Some of it is intertwined with Islamic tradition. So, for example, one of the beautiful words they used to say, halali. Halali comes from halal, which means a tahallul. Basically, like, you know what? I free you. Yani you're halal, khalas. I free you from any liability or any obligation. And even when they bury the dead, they ask everybody, do you halalify, basically like in English, you halalify the individual, the one who passed? They say, halal, halali. And you're like, may Allah forgive him. So they have those beautiful principles of forgiveness and, at that moment, subhanAllah. Also from the beautiful word I learned from them is whenever they speak about the book in the Serbo-Croatian language, is called knjiga for the book. But the original Bosnian word for a book is čitab. And I guess those who understand, they see the resemblance of the word in Arabic, right? Because the word in Arabic is kitab, and in Bosnian is čitab. Some Arabs, until this day, they still also call it čitab because they're fallahin, and they come from the village. So they pronounce the kaf cha as well, too. Even though it was a word such as quwa, quvat, which means quwa, they still use the same word in Arabic as well, too. And one of the funny expressions I learned from the Bosnians, when they get frustrated, they say, Toba ya Rabbi, which is basically like, may Allah just give me the Toba, may Allah give you the Toba from this thing. It's a funny expression. Until now, they still use the exact same expression whenever they want to express their frustration. And they say, Toba ya Rabbi. Like, subhanAllah, it's one of those beautiful things that you learn from the people when you go there. In terms of their food, something I learned about the Bosnian culture, because they are mostly agrarian society, they live off their lands, obviously. It's rarely that you find a house that doesn't have a piece of land where they plant their own food. However, 20 years later, when we visited later on, I found out that a lot of the people, a lot of the new Bosnian generation got modernized. So the whole idea of having a cow in the backyard, where you have a barn that you have fresh milk and fresh cheese and fresh meat, is almost gone. Growing your own vegetable outside of the house is not for everybody anymore. But it used to be almost like for everybody. In the house that we lived in, we had about 3 acres of land. The landlady, she would grow everything, and she would say, hey guys, go and go whatever you want to get from there. So you get the salad material, the potatoes and the onions, everything fresh, organic, no hormones added, nothing, everything so fresh, subhanAllah. We used to have every day fresh milk at the door. And on the surface, you have also you could say the butter, mashallah, is already for you there to get it. It's a very organic lifestyle if you live in small towns and villages as well, too. So their food is really organic. It's beautiful. It's healthy, mashallah. And that's why the people, they don't go to the gyms, really, because they're healthy. They walk. They work with their hands. They eat healthy food. Everything is, mashallah, as it's manufactured for us here in the West. But over there, it's just for them. Everything is just natural. And it was so beautiful, subhanAllah. Even the bread, they bake it there. And you break everything. And because that their life is very busy life, in the summer, they work so hard in the field to survive in the winter. So as a result, in the winter, they're very social people. Very, very social. That's why the culture of drinking coffee is very common. If they want to invite you to the coffee, they say, hamuna kahwa. They do this. Because they have the manual mill where they grind the coffee fresh in front of you. And if they want to even make it actually more fresh, they roast the beans right in front of you outside of the house before they get you in, and they grind the coffee and they cook it and they make it for you. And you drink it, with them in a specific style. Maybe some of you have seen the video I put there online for people to watch it. But eventually it's a very social culture in the evening. And that's why they love to talk to people. You find them sitting together always inside gatherings and mashallah, like the whole family and family feel is still there, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. In the summer though, they're very, very busy working in the field. And that's why, because of that, their food has to be something quick and something also full of fat so they can actually survive the winter and also work so hard. which is why the Bosnian cuisine is not an extensive cuisine. There aren't so many dishes, you could say, I would say, or exquisite, you know, dishes. Unless someone learned something from outside as well, and YouTube is now becoming the source for many people to learn that stuff. But some of their most popular food is called pita. And the pita or the burek in the Turkish actually language is similarly baked filo dough with meat or potato or cheese. Sometimes they put, you know, spinach and butter and so forth. They have different flavors. It's very simple, very basic. Inshallah, when you get a chance and we go to Sarajevo, we hope to take you that very special, actually, burek and pita place. They do it on charcoal. So it's a very special place. We will take you there to practice that and learn it, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So if you think that Bosnian cuisine is going to be extensive cuisine, no, it's not that extensive cuisine. Very simple, but most of it is from what they grow in their own actually land. And it was beautiful, alhamdulillah, to eat these things, very healthy. Another thing that is very common there, chavapi. They like their chavapis. Although their chavapis are not like the regular chavapi, which is the kebab, basically. It's a small ground meat that they do, but it has a very beautiful Bosnian flavor to it. And it comes with nice, beautiful, thick bread. When you inshallah, try it out. By the way, I'm fasting right now, so it's basically, I'm start drooling right now with all that talk about the food. But it really tastes so good, mashallah. Something that hopefully, inshallah, we'll experience when we get there, bidnillah azza wa jal, alhamdulillah. So if I'd say that when you hear the word halal and tayyiba, when you go to the village, most of, course, alhamdulillah, eat the halal, the well-slaughtered meat. It's not as for everybody, unfortunately, but many, many, alhamdulillah, Muslims, they practice the rituals of the halal, the biha, and so forth. So you eat the halal tayyiban over there, really. It's slaughtered properly, and it's also, yani, grazing naturally in the farms and the fields without any artificial, actually, feeding and so on. So that's something to look into when we go there, inshallah ta'ala. Something I notice about Bosnia when you get there is the masajid. Alhamdulillah, for us here in the West, we come to America, you have the freedom to come to worship anytime you want. The masjid, alhamdulillah, Rabbi Amin, is you do whatever you want to do in terms of activities. But for the Bosnians, you could tell as a historic village of Bosnia versus somewhere from a new era, based on where the masjid is located. In the old towns, back in the days, the masjid was central to every village and every town. So you see that the masjid is somewhere in the middle and the whole town is built around it. And that's the natural thing, obviously, for the Muslim community, because our life revolves around our deen, our practice of our deen. But later on, during the Hungarian era and then the Yugoslavian era, the communist era particularly, they kind of like, unfortunately, got most of these masajid out of commission. They tried to erase the Muslim identity completely. So many of these masajid became part-time institutions or places. They only open it and on the weekend just for people to learn basic of Arabic alphabets. They call it Sufara at that time. It's just like Al-Qaeda al-Baghdad Nuraniya, basically. And then only for Saturdays and Sundays, and for Friday only, for Salat al-Jum'ah, that's it. And when you and if they open a masjid for five times, they call it Beshwaqit Masjid Jami, which is basically like a big deal, a masjid that prays five times a day, basically. Subhanallah, we noticed that in the new era of Bosnia, during the communist era, when they build masajid, they build them outside of the village, outside of the town. Like even they made it so remote from the people that people don't go there regularly. The masajid became only symbolic thing for the village. That's it. But alhamdulillah, with the revival of the Muslim community in Bosnia, the masajid are being reused, alhamdulillah, for the right purpose, for the light of barakah wa ta'ala. But you're going to see for yourself when you travel there, if the masjid is somewhere independent from the town, it was built in a later era, later age. Also from the things that we noticed from the culture there, the building, how they build their structures. So you can tell a Muslim village from a non-Muslim village because the Muslims with the Croatians who are Catholics and the Serbians who are Orthodox Christians, they're intertwined, they're intermingling in different villages. But you can tell a Muslim house from a non-Muslim house for a very long time until things got mixed up afterwards, obviously, is that Muslims, they used to build their house with a square roof. The Catholics, the Croatians, the Serbs, they would build it actually differently. But the Muslim will do it actually exclusively square. So that's predominantly like a Muslim feature for their houses. And that's something that they kind of like, you can tell the village is Muslim village from non-Muslim village based on how they design their houses. SubhanAllah, the way they build their houses, obviously, because of the weather, yes, you have a big house, but then during the winter, because of the lack of resources, especially coal and wood, to warm the houses, they kind of summarize the entire house in one floor. Becomes the main place for them to live, where they actually live, living area, dining area, and even also their sleeping actually place would be in the same place. But it really helped create the family bond, because they're always together in the same place, and SubhanAllah, it becomes a strong feature for the community and for the family. One thing interesting from the Islamic identity of the Muslim community in Bosnia is the Takbirat al-Eid. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So the Takbirat, basically, it's always almost in every beautiful occasion, they use Takbir. So whether someone is getting married, they use Takbir. Someone is actually going for Hajj, they use Takbir. Someone is born, they use Takbir. And even someone, when they die, they take him to the Janazah, they also they say Takbir as well too. Like Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. Beautiful chanting almost on every occasion you would hear it from the people, mashallah. And by the way, I've learned that and I've seen it regardless how religious they are. It doesn't matter how religious they are, they still will chant with everybody because it became part of their identity. And one of the beautiful things I've seen when they go to Hajj, it was like a big deal when they go to Hajj. And it's still a big deal, obviously, there's no doubt about it. So as they escort the Hujjaj from that village, the buses come and they take the Hujjaj. And as the Hujjaj are leaving, the buses are leaving, people will be walking behind the bus doing takbirat. The same thing as well. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha. Be doing takbirat for the Hujjaj so that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make their path easy for them. That's what they usually actually they do. And when they come back from Hajj, those who go to Hajj, usually they have a special turban that they start wearing. That was to be in the past. I don't think they do this anymore, but they can tell that he's Hajia. And the Hajia is someone who has a very special status in the community back then, because definitely they have sacrificed a lot to go to Hajj. Like they value religiosity at that time. And that's, of course, in the classical era of the Bosnian community. In terms of the culture of the religious culture, they follow the Hanafi culture, Hanafi tradition, generally. However, because of living on the fringe, on the far end of the Hanafi yani community, so it became more like westernized schools of thought. So there are a lot of practices that would be kind of foreign to the madhab, to the school of thought, but it's kind of like accommodating all of the changes that happens in the society over there. So but you will still they believe that they follow the Hanafi school and they adhere to it, and they're proud, of course, of their tradition as well too. So that's something you're going to see when you go to the masajid, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Before the war, the hijab was something extremely foreign, very, very foreign, actually. And as a matter of fact, it's interesting. When we were living there back in 1992, our neighbor, an elderly lady, she came visiting one time. She was in her maybe 70s, probably even a little bit older than that. So she was telling us that she said, when I, not too long ago, she goes, she used to wear the hijab and the niqab. And that was in the 1990s. She was like more than 50 years ago, basically, she would say, or even more than that. She said she used to cover her face. She used to cover. I'm going to show a picture, inshallah, of that. She said she used to wear the niqab. But then the orders came that they removed the niqab and even the hijab, unfortunately. That was during the Hungarian era, and then came after the Yugoslavian era afterwards. But mashallah, nowadays when you start walking around and driving around, alhamdulillah, there's a revival for the light of barakah wa ta'ala. The revival gives you hope, alhamdulillah. When you walk around in Sarajevo, there are a lot of hijabis, mashallah, a lot of young men also growing their beards, and alhamdulillah, when you go to the masajid, mashallah, you find a lot of young people going there as well too. That mashallah, it reviving the spirit of the Muslim ummah and the community for the light of barakah wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, last year we took a group from the Blessed Voyage with us to experience Bosnia. I want to share with you some of what we actually experienced there. So I'm going to share, inshallah, my screen with you. Bidnillah Azza wa Jal. There you go. Okay, so can you see this?
Yes.
So basically, a beautiful poetry, just for those who are planning to travel with us, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. تغرب عن الأوطان, Imam al-Shafi'i says, تغرب عن الأوطان في طلب العلا وسافر في الأسفار خمس فوائد تفريج هم واكتساب معيشة وعلم وآداب وصحبة ماجد. Like there are many things you learn from traveling. Journey far away from home in the pursuit of glory and travel for traveling will grant you five benefits. Relief from your worries, a possible fortune, new knowledge, etiquette, and a company of honorable people. I hope, inshallah, on that journey, you will be able to acquire them all, bidnillahi azza wa jal. If you look at the map of Bosnia in Europe right now, if you look at the red color over here, this is actually the land of Bosnia. And you notice that it's actually in the heart of Europe. It is in the heart of Europe and a very strategic also location, not too far from Italy, which is why it's very significant. If you look at actually Sarajevo and Rome, that distance explains why the Ottomans, they were actually adamant at being there. And if you look at the boundaries and the political borders of Bosnia, it's interesting geography. Look how Croatia looks like. Croatia is north from Bosnia and Herzegovina, and then goes all the way towards the west from Bosnia, and takes a very narrow strip all the way over the sea, kind of like banning Bosnia from having any borders on the sea. For generations, they all would try keeping Bosnia trapped, so it doesn't have any actually any size or actually place on the sea, except for that narrow passage, which is about 12 kilometers wide. If you notice it on the south, that's the only place they have access to the water for trade. That's it. So to keep it actually far away from the sea, from the seaports. In terms of the actual origin of the Bosnians, many people they say they actually they're Ottomans, they're invaders, they're not indigenous to the community, to the land over there, but that's not true. They were way before actually the Ottomans came, way before even the Romans came. They were very special people called Illyrians. And when we were traveling around, some of the our tour guides, they showed us some of the old, you could say, see some of these actually pictures are original to the trip as well too. We're going to see some of them, inshallah, we'll visit some places, bidnillahi azza wa jal. It fell under the Roman, under the Ottoman Empire, only during the time of the Fatih, all the way until the recent time of the 1800s. This is a picture you will see, inshallah, the main masjid in downtown Sarajevo. The main masjid is Ghazi Khisro Beg Masjid, who was one of the leaders and one of the early governors of Bosnia for the Ottomans. And he himself, he created an entire culture in Sarajevo. An entire Islamic madrasa was built, and he carries his name now. Nowadays, the masjid itself actually carries his name. And subhanAllah, because him and his wife, they did not have children, so they dedicated all their wealth and their money and charity to spread the deen and the da'wah. So they have a hotel in that area. It used to be for visitors and travelers, so they can rest as they come and visit the Bosnian era. Now, if you see this, if you look at the picture over here, you will also see that the architecture actually designs, how they change. This is from the Austro-Hungarian era that ruled Bosnia, which is considered to the Bosnians as an occupation. It was annexed to the Austro-Hungarian kingdom or empire at that time. Of course, all the way until the First World War, when it erupted. And the First World War, just to give an idea, that bridge over here is where the assassination of the Archduke of Austro-Hungary Empire happened and took place, which was the reason why the entire First World War started. As a result of that, towards the end of the war, eventually Bosnia was, by the Germans, as a matter of fact, was given to the Croatians. But eventually, Joseph Tito restored the borders back to where it used to be during the Ottoman time. So there's always a debate over the original borders of Bosnia. Anything is even called independent Bosnia. The Croatians, the Serbs, they always say there isn't, but the Bosnians, they say there is, of course. They have their own historic, evidence and proofs for that. Eventually, the war continued even until recently, what led to the civil war in Bosnia. When Yugoslavia collapsed, Slovenia took off as an independent state. Serbia, Croatia took off as an independent state, and both, of course, they struggled briefly before they were given their independence by the Yugoslavian country, which is led by predominantly Serbian community. Eventually, the Bosnia has a different story. When they tried to also declare their independence, they were attacked from all sides. The Croatians claimed this to be theirs, and the Serbians they claim to be theirs, and the Bosnia wants to keep it independent. The war continued from 1991 until December 1995. And right before the war was over, there was the unfortunate, genocide of the Muslim population in Srebrenica back in July 11th, 1995. Eventually, the whole world was watching, and subhanAllah, it was a sad episode and dark spot in the history of Europe at that time. But nowadays, if we look at the geography of Bosnia, the population is still mixed up. So there are specific territories for Muslims, specific territories for Serbs and Croatians, but then there are a lot of areas where they overlap. And if you look at that map, the green, the dark green and the light green signifies two regions, which creates the Federacy of Bosnia. That's a Serbska Republika and also the Bosnian and Herzegovina. Just to give an idea that Bosnia and Herzegovina, there are two territories. So the northern eastern territory of Bosnia is called Bosnia, which has a European climate, and the southern western territory is called Herzegovina and has actually more like a Mediterranean climate. So just like in the Bilad al-Sham, basically, you can find the zaytun, olives, pomegranates, teen, figs, and so forth down south in that area, that territory. This is how it looks like right now in terms of two actually territories that puts together the entire country of Bosnia. This is now Sarajevo back in the 1930s, 1940s. If you see how the ladies actually used to dress up and how the men used to dress up. I've seen some actually villagers back in my stay in the 1990s, few villagers from the elderly, very, very old people still dressed up like that. It was an interesting sight to see it actually, as if it's something from an old movie, subhanAllah. And that's an actual photograph actually, but it was colored recently to show the possibility of how it looked like back then. This is the niqab, the face covering that was part of the culture back then in Sarajevo as well too. So for us in the Blessed Voyage from last year, we went to different places. The first day we visited Srebrenica to commemorate, of course, the events and what that happened there. And we visited the site, the memorial of the victims of Srebrenica. May Allah subhanahu have mercy on them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Then we went back to Sarajevo. There was a love lecture, but this time it's been replaced with the prophetic household. Inshallah, that we're going to be giving that lecture. I was surprised, to be honest with you, that mashallah, there are many people who speak English. They wanted to come and learn, and the room was full, mashallah. So we're going to be doing this again, inshallah ta'ala. This time, we're going to be discussing the prophetic household, the family life of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, lecturing in the Hotel Hill. So if anyone knows anybody there, you can send them that flyer, inshallah ta'ala, which is going to be online, and you can share it with the people so that they can come and join us, inshallah, in Sarajevo on that day, with Nila Azza wa Jal. Second day, we went to an area called Konix, and so near Mostar. One of the things you could see here, the water comes out naturally from the mountain. SubhanAllah, so fresh, so beautiful, so amazing. You just put your hands down there, so cold, you drink it, and you don't need any filters for that. It's just so beautiful, SubhanAllah. Masajid, this is what Masjid Mostar, we visited during the night, SubhanAllah, we were surprised. Many people were there, were young, mashallah, and one of them was graduate of Medina as well too. We met somebody from there, from Medina, the imam graduate of Umm al-Qura, I believe, or something like that, or Azhar. But alhamdulillah, there's a revival, and many people they come to these places, mashallah, to visit. And the masjid is more than 500 years old. And an interesting anecdote, they sought permission from the imam if they could actually climb the minaret. And many of the brothers and sisters, they went all the way up there actually to, I didn't dare go up there, subhanAllah. I'm claustrophobic. So it's kind of like very tight, but many people, they went up there and they would have a nice, beautiful view of the city itself. There's an area called Blagaj where the Rishi actually house and river. Here you could hear the Adhan from the minaret, subhanAllah. It was so beautiful. And it was reflecting in the valley of that region over there. The fortress there is one of those fortresses that used to be the border of historic Bosnia that leads to the sea. This is what the view that if you look on, through that window, you will see basically the direction of the west that leads to the sea where the old trade used to come through that passage. This is a masjid that was destroyed, unfortunately, during the war, and alhamdulillah was restored back later on, courtesy of the Turkish community, actually. And that this is a visit we wanted to do. It took us 2 days to take that visit because of the rain. And we had a beautiful, interesting encounter with them on that day, mashallah. And hope, inshallah, we're not going to see that this year, so we can have our visit done on time, bin Allah Azza wa Jal. But subhanAllah, the rain was just, it's an interesting how the rain falls in Bosnia. In an instant, in a second, it's clear. You just go, just buy a cup of coffee, come out, it's already actually falling, subhanAllah, profusely. And that's exactly what happened to us. We just came out of the buses. And by the time we walked just a few steps away from the buses, from the parking lot, it started falling, subhanAllah, was pouring, not even drizzle, just pouring immediately. And it was a beautiful, fun time that we spent together before we went back again to the buses. And here's the imam of in the masjid in Sarajevo, actually. We met with him in downtown. We visited the madrasa over there as well, too, in Sarajevo. In Travnik is one of the historic sites of in Bosnia. This group that I'm standing with actually is some of my old students from Zavidovici. When they heard that I was coming there, they met me in Travnik. Mashallah, we had beautiful times we spent together. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This is some of the sites of the last day we spent, alhamdulillah, walking through the old city of Sarajevo and do some shopping. And we went also to the Tunnel of Hope that gave the people, subhanAllah, the lifeline during the war in Sarajevo. And then we just came to conclusion. We learned a few things about ourselves and our ummah. So here are some of my summaries for what we learned from that experience. that they were very happy to see their American brothers and sisters, really, alhamdulillah. They were very excited when they know that we're coming from America. Just like, wow, this is interesting. And subhanAllah, when we start advertising for the trip, this year, I received a lot of emails and a lot of private messages from Bosnians. It says like, wow, we thank you very much for highlighting our country, our culture. We're very happy. We'd love to have you here, blah, blah, blah. And everybody was asking, hey, you want to come to our area? We want to come to our city? I'm just like, calm down, people. We can't go everywhere. But they were very excited to know that their Muslim brothers and sisters from America, they come to visit. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We also learned that when it comes to the importance of the awqaf, many of these masajid, survived hundreds of years, and all because they have some sort of financial independence in the past, which was called waqf. Today, it's something important we need to learn from our community in Bosnia, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Tradition, they preserved Islamic tradition and cultural tradition as well, too, through the design, like I talked about, the food and cuisine, alhamdulillah, and even actually learning the Arabic alphabets in their tradition, especially to learn the Quran as well, too. Very resilient people. No matter how many generations passed and how many atrocities they had to go through, mashallah, you go there and you see the resilience and the revival of the community as well, too. Very resourceful, alhamdulillah. Country is very rich. Everywhere you go around, rich, I'm talking about resources, but unfortunately, politically speaking, there are issues with that. But everywhere you go, there's water, there are farms, you can grow everything, mashallah, over there. Throw a seed over there, it's going to grow a tree, subhanAllah. This is how easy it is to grow plants over there, alhamdulillah, ba'ameen. And it's so beautiful. And they're just waiting for their brothers and sisters to discover their destination as well, too. And an investment idea for anybody who would like to come with us, inshallah, to see, you know what, I want to check what I can do over there. There's a good opportunity for entrepreneurship. And helping, alhamdulillah, reviving the culture and tradition, and also make some money over there. Many, many people from different countries of the world, they go there and they invest, and mashallah, they revive the community and also make a few bucks over there as well, too. it's important for us to learn from the past so that we live a better, inshallah, a future for ourselves and our communities, regardless where we come from. It's just a picture of, to tease you with it. So this is the chevapis, as you can see it on the left side, and the burek or the pita up to the right. So you can, inshallah ta'ala, get ready to taste some Bosnian food and enjoy some tourist moments. By the way, that the grapes I have in my hand, it's from the street. It's not even anyone's house. It's from the street. It grows everywhere, subhanAllah, just so beautiful. And it tastes so good, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. that was just a last picture we had together with some of the members of the group from last time we went to Sarajevo, where we're going to, inshallah, take you to do some shopping experience as well in the main center and the main mall in Sarajevo, inshallah. So just an idea to what people should expect if they ever come and join us, inshallah ta'ala, on that trip. Wallahu ta'ala. I'll leave right now. If you guys have any question for me, bismillah, more than happy to help with that.
Beautiful. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. I'll give everyone a chance to type any questions, whether it's about Bosnia, whether it's about this specific trip that we are taking with Sheikh Yasser, leading you through this experience in person. It's taking place at the end of May from the 19th. Let me just double check the dates, inshallah, to the May 19th to May 26th this year. So you have a few weeks left to take advantage. And the early bird actually ends tonight at midnight. So like 3.5 hours from now. And I know we only have a handful of seats left to begin with. There's one seat left for a sister in a triple room, and then there's just I think less than a dozen seats left after that, inshallah. So please do make sure that you do take advantage if you're interested. Someone's asking, U.S. citizens don't need a visa for Bosnia, correct?
They don't need that, if anything it's going to be at the border, actually.
The visa on arrival, basically. They just give it to you when you get there, no issues. No. Alhamdulillah. Faiza, you're saying you have a question, but you don't know how to raise your hand. That's okay. Let me just get you unmuted, and then inshallah you can ask your question. You guys can come on the mics as well to ask the questions. Go right ahead, Bismillah.
Yeah, sorry, I'm old school. We are trying to book, and it's very hard to get there. So I was wondering how you guys book to get there, because it's like a whole day. It takes a whole day. Do you have any tips, like how are people booking to get to Sarajevo?
In terms of, you're talking about in terms of booking
flights.
I mean, you could go from the US, actually, whether through Turkish Airlines, so through Istanbul going to Bosnia, mm-hmm. or if you want a faster route, you go through European destinations. The most common destination actually is through Germany, Lufthansa. That takes you to Frankfurt. Yeah, to Frankfurt, usually to Sarajevo. That's the fastest route probably for many people who come from the US over here.
No. Okay. So do you guys deal with, are there certain travel agencies for this, or is it just better to just book online?
I think Hafsa can better answer this question for you.
Inshallah, I'll connect with you about this. But to be honest, I think it's cheapest to go online and to do it individually.
Yeah,
Sorry, go ahead.
My husband has been checking online, and he just told me to ask about, like, if there's any other tips of how to find flights.
No, I think what Sheikh said is probably your safest bet. Someone's mentioned in the chat that they have used a travel agency. So if you guys have, and a couple of people are mentioning that they went through Lufthansa, they got a little cheaper deal through them. So I think it'd be great to get tips from others who are interested in going as well. But I think personal experience, it's been cheapest to book individually as opposed to using an agency.
I have two more questions.
Sister Sarah, actually, on the chat, she's saying she goes through Austrian Airlines. And lands in Vienna before coming actually to Sarajevo. So check whatever is available, inshallah.
Okay, inshallah. And then two more questions. Is this like, because I know when we did Umrah with you, Sheikh Yasser, it was through Dar es Salaam. So who coordinates this? Is this you, just personally, you yourself?
This is Blessed Voyage through Al Maghrib Institute.
Okay.
And we have local agency actually there in Bosnia that we deal with over there.
Okay.
So they are locals and they know everything, actually, alhamdulillah. And Sister Amina Mehic is here also on the call as well with us. She's one of our group leads as well, mashallah. She's Bosnian herself, yani. And she's the one who's connecting us with everybody, alhamdulillah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm leaving my kids, so I'm kind of like asking about Wi-Fi so that I can be able to talk to them every 5 minutes. It's my first time leaving them.
Yeah, unfortunately, in Bosnia there is no internet. It's a very primitive country. They just run on wood and charcoals. Come on, man! I mean, internet is all over the place. You will have Wi-Fi. You will have also if you have a T-Mobile.
We have T-Mobile. Yes.
Then you have full service over there.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. No. Alhamdulillah. Very good.
Okay. No, there's real concerns, Sheikh. Actually, you know what's so convenient? In Bosnia, you can get the actual SIM card, like right when you step out of the airport at convenience shop. Like literally there's a stall, you just pay a couple bucks, you get your thing, and it's halas, you have connection. It was the easiest country, alhamdulillah, to get our
We're T-Mobile too, and that helped when we
tried. Alhamdulillah. Great questions. I'm glad that you asked them, Faiza. I'm sure others had those same questions as well. I see a couple of hands raised as well. So inshallah, M. Rahman, you're welcome to ask your question. Bismillah.
Assalamualaikum. Faiza, first, that's a real mom question. So I don't have kids, but as an aunt, I understand that panic. I just wanted to ask real quick. I saw that the itinerary was going to be available today, like the full, or maybe I'm mixing up my dates, Hafsa. I don't know if that's coming in today or.
I think it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Okay. Probably just mixing up my dates then. But I just had two quick, like more cultural questions. Since I know we're going to be visiting on some masajid as well, inshallah, just I guess, are we going to be able to find out a little bit more about the dress code and what's appropriate in Bosnia and everything like that, like what they expect from people who are visiting? I don't know if I think there might be more on the call next week, but I wasn't sure.
Well, I think when you go there, you will see that Bosnia is an open community, open society. So there's the hijabis, the non-hijabis, those who actually, you know, dress properly, those who don't. It's a European community, European society. That's what the West actually mix up over there. But the masajid, mashallah, alhamdulillah, I mean, generally speaking, they understand tourists come in, right? They allow tourists to come in, actually, to the musalla and the masajid usually. But mashallah, their masajid is not like in America. You have a men's section, women's section. The masjid is all open for everybody. The ladies, they have some sort of like few lines in the back, and the men actually in the front. So you can go with your family and you stay together as well. Now, you're muted.
Oh, sorry. Let me get rid of unmute access.
Sorry. just the other question, and this is just like a question because I went to Turkey in November and I saw that there were like cats everywhere. I didn't know if that was also something in Bosnia or not, but I just wanted to ask because I bring cat treats with me to Turkey. So I was like, should I bring cat treats with me for the cats in Bosnia?
I don't know. What do you find in the streets?
Everywhere in Bosnia.
A cat is called Machka over there, but I don't think you'll see cats or animals like that.
Yes, you will see.
Not too many. Okay.
I think when you go in the village, it's just like any other country, in the village in the countryside, you find maybe some of these animals in the farm, but not in the main streets in the city.
I see. I'm a big animal lover, so I just wanted to check before I went. So, Jazakallah khair. Thank you for answering my questions.
Alrighty, perfect. Great questions, mashallah. Yes, bring all the cat treats. I remember there was quite a few in the old town in Sarajevo, especially around Gazi Husar Bey Mosque. Sarah, let's hear from you, inshallah. Please feel free to ask your question.
It's not a question, to be honest. I just wanted to add on before, because people were asking how to fly in. I currently live in Europe, in Austria myself, and stopping over in Vienna is very easy, and there's direct flights from Vienna to Sarajevo, but also for anyone willing to do it, because it's a cheaper option, I think. If you arrive anywhere in Austria or like south of Germany, there are also regular buses to cities like Sarajevo that are also pretty cheap, and especially cheaper than most flights. So check it out, and maybe it's an option for some of you, especially if you're traveling on your own.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you. Thank you very much. Vala najlepše.
Ne varacao.
Also, by the way, I want to add some people that used to come through Croatia through Split. So they land in Croatia in Split, and then they drive, actually. Even they rent a car. They rent a car, and they go to Sarajevo. However, from Split all the way to Sarajevo, there's about 3.5 hours drive. But if you're going to go and meet us, for example, in Mostar, that's much closer. So it's like less than half of the distance over there. We had a couple last year. They came from Finland with their child. They landed in Split, and they rented a car, actually. They came and joined us in Mostar. Now.
All right. Rani Jazakalakar, sorry. I think I saw Faiza's hand up again. I will say any other route, any unique route that you take to get to Sarajevo, honestly, all of it is very scenic. That was one thing you learned is like Bosnia, there's mountains, there's turquoise waters. It's mashallah, one of the coolest experiences. It feels like you're living through a movie wherever you go in this country. Faiza, I think you're asking another question. Go right ahead.
Yeah, my daughter just taught me how to raise my hand. Okay. I wanted to know about the weather. What are we expecting in terms of weather, especially for us hijabis? We need to know how to unlayer or layer.
Well, this is going to be mid-May or end of May, I would say. It's still spring, and spring can be cold. So usually it's during the day, the temperature is very pleasant, but definitely during the night and early morning, it can be a little bit cold. So take that into consideration. So when the sun goes up and during the day, temperature is going to maybe go up to the 60s in terms of Fahrenheit, 60s and 70s. But in the morning and in the evening, it can drop back significantly. It becomes very, very cold.
Okay, sure.
Now, so I think that everybody should make sure that they bring with them a jacket that they could use, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, during that time. Sure. Now.
Beautiful. Great question. I'm glad that everyone's thinking. Alhamdulillah. I don't see any other hands raised. If anyone else has... No, don't pack everything. that was not permission to pack everything. But if anyone else has questions in the chat, please feel free, inshallah, to drop them here. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. That was really beneficial to kind of get like a historical walkthrough, have your personal experiences as well, and get a chance to be exposed to the Bosnian culture for those who haven't. For those who are already registered, we cannot wait to start the trip and the experience with you guys, inshallah. I know there's going to be a couple more calls just to get you all situated, inshallah. But for those who haven't, this is one of your last few opportunities. One, because the price is going up tonight. Two, because there's only like a dozen spots left. So make sure that you do secure it. It's blessedvoyage.com/Bosnia. There's a lot more information on there and all the package details and all that. It's also linked in the social media bios. Yes, Amina's right. You can buy anything there as well. And Shif, I don't know how long you spent in Bosnia the last trip that you were there, but it's like everyone speaks English, like 80% of people, alhamdulillah.
So that's at my time back in the 1990s, there is no way.
Yeah,
you had to learn the Bosnian language. Actually, they spoke probably Russian and German more than anything else back then. But now English has become a very common language.
Alhamdulillah. And that's what's really convenient is going to a Muslim country and being able to converse with everybody and not like feeling overwhelmed and having that comfort is really, really nice. Alhamdulillah as well. So someone's asking, Suhail is asking, what's the best currency to bring, Bosnian KM or euros?
Well, do you have a currency exchange all over the place? Just to give a heads up, by the way, for those who've been to Turkey recently, the Bosnian currency is much stronger than the Turkish currency. So don't expect the exchange to be the same. Like when you go to Turkey, $100 is going to get you maybe 1,200 lira, for example. But in Bosnia, $100 barely can get you actually 300 Bosnian mark. So it's a bit more expensive, just to put it this way.
But it still goes further than anywhere else.
Of course, definitely not. You will enjoy it, inshallah ta'ala.
Inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. I'm really halal jealous of those of you who are registered. I hope that everyone else, inshallah, gets a chance, whoever can, to join you on this experience. And Sheikh, thank you for the trip down memory lane, inshallah. Yes, you'll have WhatsApp groups. You'll have support throughout the entire experience. That's the whole blessing, alhamdulillah, of going with Blessed Voyages, is that they deal with all the logistics. Sheikh deals with all the kind of like the therbia, the historical experience, and walking you through the kind of the highs and the emotional roller coaster of the experience. No vaccine required, I believe, Sheikh, right?
No.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So no vaccination, no visa for a lot of you guys, alhamdulillah. One of the easiest countries to kind of deal with when it comes to travel logistics, alhamdulillah. And all the other logistics answers and questions that you guys have will be shared, inshallah, over the next few days. Please do join us on the experience. I can't wait for you guys to experience Bosnia with Sheikh Yasser Bridges and Blessed Voyages. And Jazakallah for being with us for today's webinar. Inshallah, we'll see you in person, hopefully, or online very soon. For now, take care, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.